Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. It's episode 537 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. This episode, I speak with Red Infamy. Red Infamy is the founder of Geek Game Tight. She is a media personality, journalist, consultant, producer, and host for video games. In this chat, we cover her life journey, women in gaming, community support, and how to be yourself. If you guys are thinking about starting a podcast, definitely check out our promo code TSR, TSR, and you can use that with Libsyn to get 113. Enjoy this episode.
Look at me. Look at you. Huh? Huh? All right, I'm done.
I gotta get like you. I need my little green screen.
Listen.
I'm about to get right. I have some really exciting things coming up.
No, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you.
Cool looking.
So,
I wasn't following. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it.
I thought I was following.
Not today.
Hold on, you following Red Infamy though?
Don't look. I might be guilty. I might be guilty. Don't look. Look maybe like later on today. Don't look right now.
Look at that email. Uriah is following you. Oh, really?
Don't look right now.
This is what I'm talking about.
No, don't do it.
But we follow each other in life, okay?
Absolutely. How long it's been? Years.
I met you at my first time going to PAX East.
2012.
Met you, of course, through 2012.
Wow.
Through Hip Hop Gamer.
Wow.
And yeah, that was the first time we met.
Wow.
Was my very first PAX East, my very first convention, and my very first time being like my very first field reporting, and everything. On the field for Black Enterprise at PAX. So yeah, that was a first for a lot. That year alone was a first for a lot.
Yeah, and we had some interesting conversations during that time. Like, yes. Like some interesting stuff. Like, mm-hmm. And so now it's almost like I'm doing a P&P review with you and this conversation. Because I'm wondering, have I followed through and some of those things that we've talked about? Right?
Are you asking me or are you trying to reflect?
I'm trying not to ask you because I think you're ready to answer it. Right?
I would say yes.
It's still definitely a work in progress.
It's always going to be a work in progress.
All right. So I think I got it right. I got your picture on there too. I'm about to post your picture on Twitter. So hope you're all right with that. It's been, I think I got it right. Yeah. So, Red Infamy, it's been a long time. We've known each other for a very long time. I am honored to call you friend. You are my sister. I love you very much.
I love you too. And,
I think this is the first time we've actually had a conversation about really anything in this way, right? Welcome to the show.
Well, it's an honor. For real, a big honor. I know your journey. So, yes, you are definitely my brother. I love you and your family. Your family is so beautiful.
Love you too.
I'm excited.
And we started talking about a couple of things that I definitely want to bring to the forefront for this platform, right? And wherever this conversation lands, I want it to land where people can benefit from it. Because I still believe, so as far as your background, you are a reporter, a host, you've co-hosted, you've helped build brands, you've been grinding for a long time. You've consulted, you've helped me out in a lot of ways. and I think one of the things that I noticed about you from very, very early on is you are a great observer for a long period of time. Like you could stay there, you could stay in a corner and just observe for a long period of time. And I think that sitting still like that is a gift, right? It's not everybody has it. You know, some people feel like they have to take out a phone and stuff like that. And I've watched mm-hmm. you, from afar where you don't have to move to capture what you're wow. trying to capture, whatever that vision is, whatever that moment is, that you sit still. You won't check your phone. You won't do anything. And I think that's amazing.
Wow,
so
you caught that?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. Wow. I'm paying attention. I'm paying wow. attention. And I think that, and I could be wrong. So these are my things that I've observed over the years. And the next thing for me is the fact that I noticed that you are publicly private.
Wow. Yo, you reading me like a book right now. everything you have said is correct. Is very
well,
correct.
That's awesome. Okay, sweet. So
very correct.
So as I was trying to gauge what kind of conversation that I wanted to have and the amount of time even gauging that is, and the fact that I know you to a certain degree, but yet you keep a lot of aspects of your life private for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's your prerogative. Yeah. I guess I definitely wanted to capture, maybe early years in gaming.
Okay.
A little bit of that. You know, I understand that you started when you were 3. Right?
Yes. Yep.
It was a Sega and Sony household, right?
Yep.
Okay. It was a Sega Master System, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So walk me through that. I've done some homework.
So yeah, that, you know, I had to correct myself because the actual first gaming console was not actually the Sega Master System.
Okay. All right. And, so what was it?
It was actually a Socrates learning gaming system.
Okay.
That was actually the very first, the Master System was, but as far as like my own console, I didn't get a Sega Genesis until later. Like I think I was like 6 years old, but as far as Socrates, and the only time I was able to like play the game was like with my parents, but the Socrates was something my mom had got me. I don't know when she got this. Because the way my mom likes to kind of prepare, and she learned that from her grandmother, my great-grandmother, is to kind of prepare for your children before they get a certain age so they could already have it. That was like how she was raised. So I don't know when my mom got this, but the Socrates gaming system is something that I just loved. Like I would just go in my closet and just hook it up and play all these different learning things. So, and it was all about learning, and I can teach myself. And I think that's what kind of made me who I am today, is because I had something there that I didn't have to wait and kind of find out from an adult the answer. It's something that I had to like, okay, this is teaching me math. This is teaching me writing and all kind of different things you want to learn as like a little toddler to a young kid. And I was like, wow, but it was fun. Like, it was really fun. You had this little Socrates thing that was trying to, it was copying, what's the thing? The, Famicom, the little robot. So, it looked just like that. But yeah, as far as like my early stages of playing video games, alone, like going to something that goes completely into gaming was the Master System. And, that was off of my father alone. My mom had got it from Christmas, and I was just blown away because I was like, well, these, you know, as a kid it looked like cartoon figures or whatever, and I just had a great time just playing with my father. It was something else besides like basketball, anything I would see him do, because I wanted to do everything he did. Just playing video games and like co-op games was really cool, and that's what got me really into gaming, and then learning how to beat levels as well. So seeing him like going through Ninja Gaiden and stuff like that, or Shinobi, and that's what got me like into ninjas too. So that was like my earliest stages of gaming until I became like 5 or 6 and finally got my own. I had got the It was the Lion King bundle my mom got me for Christmas. And I never beat that game. I never beat Lion King.
I don't know if I did either.
That game was hard, yo. Like, it was a kid's game, like, but it was hard.
Right.
But yeah, that's what got me, still sticking with it. And then my cousins, had Nintendo down the block. So I would just go down the block and play Nintendo, but I didn't have a Super Nintendo or anything like that. I did have NES. Sorry if you hear knocking, but I did have my NES in the garage. I don't know whose NES this was, but the only thing that was on there was RoboCop, and I'm trying to think. Was RoboCop on there, or Duck Hunt? Because they did have the gun. That's the only game I played on there. But I really didn't grow up in a Super Nintendo household. It was mostly Sega, and that made me fall in love with Sonic. And just seeing a game that I'm like, wow, it's a platformer, but he's going real fast. But that's kind of made me into like, okay, I just want Sega stuff. You know, right. That made me the Sega fangirl. And then I would have my own little console war with my cousins down the block who had just Nintendo products and stuff and saying Sonic's better than Mario. I used to go, hey, you see these console wars on Twitter? It was like that in real life. So that kind of made the platform of how I'm like my knowledge on what I had to learn so much about what I was playing to then go battle my cousins on why Sega is better than Nintendo. So that kind of, I'm just thinking about that like right now. That's kind of what kind of grew me to do what I do today when I have to kind of put my, whatever I believe in or my thoughts or whatever facts that's in front of me on why this is this versus why that's that with them.
Okay, so what happened 7 through 11? What were you doing around that time?
Oh, 7 through 11?
Yeah.
Oh, and Pokemon came on the scene and everything. 7, I'm trying to think through 7. Still Sega, as far as Nintendo 64, that changed everything. Like, I thought, I remember one time I went to the store with my cousins and I wasn't supposed to. And my mom was like, I need you to come home. I got a surprise for you. I thought I was getting Nintendo 64. And no, I got in trouble. But yeah, Nintendo 64, 007, as far as GoldenEye, that right there got me into first person shooters. Like, alone is GoldenEye. That's what set it off. My cousin CJ and Dion, over the weekends, I would go over to Valley Stream. I'm from Queens. I'm from Hollis, Queens. So Valley Stream is way far. It's far away. Even though Queens is a large borough, if no one's familiar with it.
What's it? Exit 16 or which one is it? I forget. It's somewhere in the like teens.
Two something.
16 or 19. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on where you're hitting it from, right?
Yeah, where you coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
But my mom would, you know, drop me off every weekend. It was either me going to the Bronx or going to Valley Stream. I wanted to go to Valley Stream because it was way better as far as the environment. Where I grew up at was not too bad at all until later on, but going to Valley Stream was just more, it was quiet.
Talk about
where
that. Where did you grow up? What was happening around there?
So I grew up in Hollis, Queens. Everything was residential where I grew up. I grew up in a house, you know, in a house, backyard, front yard, trees, grass, you know. The kids on the block was funny. I had cousins, like several different cousins that would live on the block, my god sister. So it was very family oriented. I was able to go to different households. I would go over my god sister's house and play 007 because she had it over her house. That was one of the things, besides just playing outside and me rollerblading or doing tricks on my bike, I would go to different houses that my cousins or god sister was at and play video games and spend time with them and have like memories through memories of that. So Golden Eye for sure. When she had got Golden Eye, I was like, yo, I really got to get a Nintendo 64 because I didn't have that. So I think that's like the beauties too with exclusives. It actually make you, be like, wow, I got to get that for that platform. And that's something that we all learned as a kid. But yeah, during that time from 7 to 11 was the N64 days for me. And then even going into PlayStation days, that's when I actually got to discover PlayStation. It was through another cousin, and that was in the Bronx. And that's when I first played Crash Bandicoot. So I was like, wow, I played Crash Bandicoot. I got to play Twisted Metal. And that's when I fell in love with PlayStation. I was like, wow, this looks nothing compared to the other consoles I've been playing. And then Pokemon. I used to go around on my bike trading cards. My cousin and I would be like Team Rocket taking cards away from people, like taking their Pokemon. Like, we was trying to live out the series. And so, yeah, around that time... was then, and then I for the longest wanted a sibling, and my brother was born, when I was like around 9 and a half. So between 7, 11 in my childhood was mostly playing video games and collecting and trading either comic book cards or Pokemon cards. Cause the Marvel cards, the Ultra Flare joints was fire, especially the metallic ones. So, that was like my childhood was between those different things as like a passion of mine.
Okay. 11 through 16.
Wow. 11 through 16. Middle school was still geeky and nerdy. I started wearing glasses. So that kind of added on to the whole nerd situation. And I was always proud of that. I never really had a problem wearing glasses or looking that type of way. But it was very awkward. Like, those are the awkward years is middle school. As far as 16, going all the way to 16, I mean, the high school. I went to 3 different high schools. So when 9/11 happened, my mom got tired of New York City. My grandmother, she worked for NYU. And she worked not too far away, you know, as far as downtown. And during that time, we didn't know. That was my first year of high school. And a lot of people didn't know how their parents. Like, the high school I went to was Math, Science, Technology, Engineering School. I went to a magnet school. It used to be called Jackson. But then they got turned into a magnet school. And I wanted to be a scientist when I was little, and I wanted to go into engineering. So class at that time, when everything happened, I was in my engineering class, and it was like about the first week of school. So a lot of kids, a lot of time wasn't going to school yet. They would kind of wait sometimes. I don't know why, to the third week or so, they wouldn't really take that many days to go to school. So I think there was like probably roughly around 13 kids. And we was just hearing the news, and a lot of people was in disbelief. But one of the girls in my class was like really shook because both her parents worked in the towers. Mm. And then I knew my grandma, who she worked in the city. I knew she wasn't that close, like as far as in the financial district at all. But downtown where she worked was pretty close by. And I was just worried, like, what's going on? Is anything happening as far as like an attack? And then people start taking their kids out of the class. So that's when my mom moved out of New York City. She was like, nah. So I was 15 years old when I moved from New York. And as far as gaming was something that now I was able to share with my little brother because he was a toddler. But he was playing games nonstop with PlayStation. And so he broke the PlayStation. It started to smoke up. But that was something. I don't know what Ty did. Like, but he would play, remember Die Hard? It was like the Die Hard trilogy or something for PlayStation. It was either, he loved Duke Nukem, and he was like 3 a two. Like, he was a smart kid, but like, he's still smart. Very intelligent, a very intelligent guy. He's, oh, Ty's 23 now. Oh, I feel old. So, he would play that. I would just watch him, like, because I was just so amazed. That was my Twitch right there. I was just watching him play, just being a little kid and like gaming alone, besides all kind of things, like me finally have a little brother, because I wanted a little brother. I was like, wow. Like,
why'd you want a little
like
brother?
Me.
Well, why did I want a little brother? Yeah, what drove that for you?
Because growing up, as a lot of times I was the only girl, like, and somebody would say, well, why don't you want more girls or something? And the female friends I did have, they were mostly into things I was into. Like, I had a really good, great friend, Andrea, in elementary school. We used to play pop ball, basketball, trade cars, play video games. I was like, wow, she's just like me. I always seen it wasn't too many girls like that. It was mostly boys that was into that stuff. So I was like a little tomboy. I was climbing trees, doing flips, all kind of stuff as a little girl. And the girls during that time, they was into other stuff. Like, they want to play double dutch. I don't want to play that. Double dutch. I want to ride bikes. And I was like, well, boys are into this stuff. It's so cool. And then my cousins was into that stuff too. So I wanted my own little cousin. I wanted a little brother. And that's what I got. I got all brothers. from my mom's side and my father's side is all boys. So I got an abundance of what I asked for.
Yeah, you asked. You asked for it.
I asked for it. I was like, okay. But yeah, I would have loved a little sister though. But I do have little sisters now. We may not be blood related, but definitely I do have some really dope little sisters, and even older sisters too. So that are really close friends to me. But that's the reason why I had wanted a little.
Mm. Okay. 16 to 22. What happened there?
I just got to 16 to 22. Like I mentioned, so from New York, I moved to Orlando, as far as New York City to Orlando, Florida. From Orlando, Florida to Atlanta, Georgia. And coming from New York City to the South in period is a huge culture shock, like a very huge culture shock. Like, I didn't understand what people were saying. I thought they was talking in a different language. Nothing is like fast paced and uptight in the South. So I was like, wow. And then as far as from New York City to Orlando, it was very different. So when you're growing up, as far as like where I grew up at wasn't ghetto or whatever. Of course it was still a hood, but it was a mixture. It wasn't like someone was living in poverty. I think a lot of people get that twisted when people will say, you know, I'm from the hood. That doesn't mean that you're living in poverty. It's just, it is a certain type of economical setback. But it was like in the middle or whatever, because it was a residential, it was a mostly black residential neighborhood. So, of course, most of the schools I would go to was mostly black and Hispanic. If not, it was either East Indian. So it was always a collective of people of color. And then, of course, growing up in those different classrooms, it became a family. Everybody understood whatever, you know, different things or learn from different heritage as much as you want. You know, you have friends that come from all different walks of life. So when I moved to Florida, it was totally different because the school I went to, which I went to Olympia High School, which was in Windermere. So Windermere is a neighborhood in Orlando that's like upper class, and it's mostly white people in this neighborhood. So most of the kids, that was like my first time going to a school where there was the majority was white students. And I had no problem with that. It's just really different though. So The friends I made, you know, of course I made friends from all over. It was just, it was the same, and then it wasn't the same because it was, I was in the South, and a lot of, that's like my first time I experienced racism was at that school. So I was like, and it, the way it was, how I experienced it, I was actually talking to someone the other day about that. I was like, wow, that was the first time. Like I always had like high grades and stuff. I would take AP classes and stuff like that, made good grades. Didn't have too bad of like going, you know, as far as my attendance or anything. So I remember, I had got detention because I said the word ass. Like, I was like, I'm in, like, so it was early in the morning in the hallway. I'm speaking to this friend. It was this classmate that she had, and I knew the person too, and they were annoying. And she was just giving a story on how he was like this asshole. And I was like, yeah, he is an asshole and all this other stuff. And so this teacher walked past, like, we're at our lockers. And there's two black girls, myself and the other, my friend, and we're speaking, and she's a straight A student as well. Well, I wasn't like a straight A, so I had A's, B's or whatever, but she was like a straight A student. And, you know, we're just having a conversation. We're minding our business at our lockers, just having a conversation.
In the hallway.
In the hallway. Class is not even in session yet because it's really early. And this teacher walked past and was like, what did you say? I was like, I said the word ass. Like, because you just asked, what did I say? And she was like, well, you don't use that language. And and I was like, all right, whatever. Like, so I'm still speaking to my friend.
Going back to your conversation, right?
Going back to the conversation. And the word asshole comes up again, but like you're down the hallway by this time. You come right back to me. It was like, oh, I'm taking you to the principal's office. I was like, for what? He was like, for your use of language. For saying ass? I was like, ass is not, I was like, I didn't say the F word. I didn't say the B word. I didn't say the S word. I didn't say mother effer. Like, ass is actually an animal. Like, so she said.
This is true.
I was like, ass is an animal. That's where it comes from. And I'm a northerner. So I'm looking at her like, you're an idiot. I'm sorry for all the people that's down south, not to take offense. But her mentality, and she's white. I was like, hold up. Is this what everybody's talking about? Now, don't get me wrong. There's racism here in New York City. Like, don't get it twisted. But the mentality that I faced at that moment, I was like, I know this lady's not saying that. Because I was in school with kids who was cursing and all kind of stuff. And the teachers didn't, they reprimand them, but they didn't take it like this was World War III.
Right.
So she took me to the principal's office. And I'm sitting down with, I think he was like the assistant principal. And some of the first things he said, he was like, I was told you were saying all these different curse words. I was like, I said one curse word, and that was ass. That's it. He was like very condescending. Like everything he would say was just very condescending on what he was asking. And I'm just sitting there, and I was just so frustrated because I'm like, I try to work hard with my schoolwork and everything, and I'm a teenager. And so he was like, well, how's your grades looking? Let me look at your grades. And he was like, oh, like he was just surprised that I had good grades. And I was like, what? Like, he was like, oh, you're in this AP class and you have an A. And I was like, yeah. I didn't have like the mentality of how I speak now because I would have went off.
Right.
But I'm just sitting there like, yo, is this really happening right now? I never had detention. Never. And from elementary all the way up, I never had detention. I wasn't that type of kid. Like, I just wasn't. I was quiet a lot of times. It's like how I'm not this way to observer because I've always been like that since I was a kid. I actually had to break my shyness. I'm still shy to this day. People don't believe it. I am still shy. But I usually just keep quiet and just keep to myself. I do interact with other people, but sometimes y'all might see me not say anything for like hours. That's just me. I'm not trying to be funny. That's just me. So this man is sitting down going over my grades, and in the back of my head, I was like, well, wonder if I did have a C or a D and I was struggling in school, you would have had sent me to detention for like a month or a week. He just gave me one day. And then like my teachers was like, wow, they was like, detention? Why are you getting detention? And I told them the story and they was like, yo, are you serious? Like my chemistry teacher was pissed.
You don't think that was common practice in that school?
No, it was not common practice at all. Like it wasn't, because I've observed and seen certain things that should have been taken care of. And I'm like, why is it that it's two teenage girls talking? We weren't loud, ratchet, none of that. So, and it's a shame if somebody was loud, because we've seen other people being very loud and saying all kind of things and nothing would happen. It's just me and this girl, and we're talking at our lockers, getting our stuff preparing for class. And because the word ass came up. So yeah, during that time was just, I was like, I love this school because it's different. And the classrooms, like in order to go to different classes, you had to go outside. The weather was dope because it's in Orlando, but I didn't like the things that I experienced and seen. That was like my first taste of like prejudice. And I was like, yo, if I had bad grades, it reminds me of somebody who, let's say they had an accountant with the law or something and it wasn't that serious. They now have a record, right? And then whatever else they do, they're actually always determined by what happened in the past. All it's like, that's what I was like, well, damn, I only said ass. Like,
right.
I was like, this is how that feels.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good feeling at all. So, but yeah, I mean, during that time, just besides being in the South as a teenager, I met some really dope people. I liked the school I went to. It was still like a different experience. As far as like gaming during that time, what came out? Oh, me and my brother used to go at it because that was Vice City. And
wow.
He got so obsessed with Grand Theft Auto from Grand Theft Auto 3. I would say this. My mom never sheltered us from things, which I'm so grateful of.
Things
My mom introduced me to Mortal Kombat, like, and I was 5 years old. And we would play Mortal Kombat before going into the movie to see, because they had like arcade set up at the movie theater. It's no longer there, but the Sunrise movie theater, like my mom and my dad, we would play video games before going into the movie theater because we had to wait. So they had like arcades there and different stuff. And my mom was like, let's play this game. And we was playing fighting games and stuff. So, and I mean, that game, people didn't like, I'm not letting my child play that. You know, I guess I would say it depends on your kid. Like you will notice, oh, nah, his little badass ain't. No, like, we're not introducing that because their head is a little bit too there with imagination.
Right. They're not there
so
yet.
I guess you can. Yeah, they're not there that. Yeah, they're not there yet. So right. I guess you could kind of gauge with your kids on how you want to parent them with games. But my mom, I would say between my brother and I, my mom never did that with TV shows, movies. Only thing, of course, and we didn't want to see that anything sexual. You get your ass out the room, like, of course, with that, but. She never sheltered us from that because, especially growing up in New York City alone, you really don't have room. You need to know and be alert on certain things. So my mom would let us watch like Law and Order and all this other different stuff just to be conscious of like how the world is. And with Grand Theft Auto, we was playing Grand Theft Auto, and he loved that he was able to play an open world game because a lot of games, of course, was always linear. So he got to play an open world game. We had got Vice City and like he just took over. Like that PlayStation 2 was mine. Like I got that for Christmas. And he took over, yo. Like, and then my mom was like, let him play. I'm like, he played already. So that was when my brother and I would feud over video games because that's my little brother and I had to give him the game and I had to wait. But he would go in on Vice City and other games, and yeah, like That was like, did I get to finish Vicey? I'm trying to think if I beat the game.
Oh, no.
did I beat the game? Or did I watch him beat the game? I don't know. But, yeah, during that time, I think, yeah, it was Vice City, and that's when I got into Civilization. So I had my own PC. I would be on Civilization 3 for hours. Like, you could not get me off that. So that's when I fell in love with real time strategy games, because I love history. And so seeing all those different historical people, and you get to kind of make out how it would have been or would have not been, just based upon the people, their culture, heritage, where you want to put them at, going against them. And for anybody that plays Civilization, Gandhi is a true asshole. Mm. So he will nuke you in a minute. And it kind of goes back to how he was actually in real life that people don't know about, but just read up on it. But yeah, in the game, he is horrible. I hate when he is, like, you make a character and you come encounter with him. It's just annoying. But yeah, as far as, yeah, that would be 11. You said 11 to 16?
Yeah, I think we did 16 to 22. That's where we are.
16 to 20. Okay.
Yeah.
So, college. Okay. Then we moved to Atlanta. I'm trying to think what I was playing during that was a culture shock, too. Moving to Atlanta, during those times, it was very struggling. Trying to see what we had as far as gaming stuff. Cause some stuff, when we was moving from Florida, we had to leave it in our storage. The economy was really bad in Florida. So, we was like, let's move to Atlanta. And, my mom was like, Atlanta is like a black Mecca in the South. And, she was just noticing some things herself as well, too, in Orlando. And she just wanted to be like, I want to raise my children in something that's more balanced. So we moved to Atlanta. And I think I went to Mount Zion High School. And it was very different from going to like a school where it's predominantly white. And a lot of these kids are either rich. The one cool thing was, Shaq was principal for a day there. Mm. So that was fun. But just moving to Atlanta, that was even further a culture shock. Cause like my first day there at lunch was a food fight. And I was like, wow. Yo, what is going on? So, it was kind of ratchet. I was like, wow, this is the Mecca of ratchetness. Like Atlanta. But I met some really dope people there as well too, but I could not understand what some of these people were saying. Like they have a really heavy accent. And this one girl asked me, she was trying to ask me if I was from New York. That was one thing I did notice, that people would know if I'm from New York or not, either by the way, of course, that I speak, or the way I dress. So that was something the girl was trying to ask me. But I was like, yo, last time I experienced a food fight was like in elementary school, and in high school, that was crazy. Like this dude got hit with an apple, like wow. Right here. And it was crazy. So I graduated from, Mount Zion. I only went there for like, I would say like a year and a half, but everything was different. Like the learning was different. A lot of things I already learned from.
What do you mean by different?
So like things that I learned already up north, before I even went to school, like my mom would teach me things at home or just have books there. We had the whole full Britannica encyclopedia and I would just.
Yeah, you had to have that.
Go through it. Yeah, you had to have that. I would just go through it and just look at it. I love looking at it, like an Atlas book. My grandmother had several books. She's a bookworm. She's a nerd. That's where I get all this stuff from. the teaching is this different. It's lower. And so I used to get frustrated because I was like, yo, I know this already. Like, and I couldn't go into other classes because they was already full. And I had to wait until the next following year to take AP classes. And they tried to give me a problem with that. And I fought against that to just, you know, I didn't get a chance to do the summer learning in order to do that. But I still completed everything, even though I didn't. So it was a lot of hurdles during my high school years, because I went to three different high schools. And I had to kind of adjust to each different scenario in each different state, besides the state and city that I grew up in. So it was very frustrating. Like, going to that school was just, I was just annoyed. And I had to ride the cheese bus. Like, that in the South, you ride cheese buses.
That's right.
From your home to the school. And that was something totally different, because I would either walk to school or just take, you know, the MTA bus in New York. And it was just two bus I had to take to go to my high school. So it was a little bit of freedom. I cannot stand the cheese bus because it would get crowded. You know, you have to sit next to somebody.
You'll feel, but like, you had a seat, though. You always had a seat.
Sometimes, no. A problem happened one time where there was no seats.
Wow.
This wasn't, yeah, there was no seat. So we had to, like, stand up. I had to sit three to a seat. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So, like, I had to tell some dudes, I'm going to need you to close your legs, bro. Ain't no spreading this time. I will sit on this edge. But yeah, one time I forgot what happened. I think another bus had broke down or something, and we had to share a bus with another route. And I was like, yo. But yeah, graduated from Mount Zion, then went to go to school in North Carolina, in Charlotte. And in college, I wanted to make sure that since I was going to a private college, I only had like two scholarships, and it still wasn't enough for the tuition. So, I didn't take any game consoles, or anything like that. I left that there with my brother. And I went away to, a state and city where, I didn't have any friends, didn't know anyone. I did that on purpose because, during that time, in high school, middle school was awkward. Elementary was fun, of course. But when you're becoming like an adult, of course, a young adult, I should say, my problem was I was very shy to the point where I didn't like go anywhere by myself. Like, I had this kind of mental block where I needed people to go with me everywhere. And I learned that that was actually some type of condition. And I didn't know that. You know, I'm just thinking like, I'm just really shy. But I didn't know that was actually like a condition. And until
when,
I became,
when you say
an adult,
condition, what do you mean? Like,
I forgot
introvert
what it's called.
Type thing, or something else?
Of course, I was introvert and still have some little different traits of introvert. But like, I wanted to not be that. I felt like that was a cage. Like, I'm in this cage. I felt like something was. There was so much more to life than just being to myself. Or just being in a cocoon, or always feeling high anxiety to do something or say something. So, what sparked that was forums. So I had my own computer, and I would look up on forums on things. And hip, as far as besides video games, music is like right here with me. And, I got into like, one of my friends from high school that I kept in touch with in New York, he would like write rhymes and poems. And I thought that was like so interesting because my father was a rapper in the 80s. So I was like, wow, you know, I want to rap. You know what I'm saying? I might got some bars or whatever. So, you know, 106 and Park, just looking at that, and Freestyle Fridays. So one of the, battlers on there that everybody know, if you pay attention to battle rap, Jen. So Jen, he had his own website called Holofront, I think. And in a section of the forum where people could talk about hip hop, the latest rap battles or whatever. Of course, during that time with Smack DVDs, and people would do their freestyle battles and or different little ciphers or whatever. And I was like, wow, this is mad interesting.
Right.
And my friend during that time was like, you know what? he used to battle people. And I was like, you battling people? How? Like, and so he would battle people in the forums. Like, you had a certain amount of time and you actually had to type up real quick against this person. So you could research them, which is hard to do during that time. So you would kind of go through their little, you know, whatever they used to write on different things and learn more about them. And it wasn't as easy as, oh, I could just look this person up on Facebook, Twitter, and see the latest things they tweeted, or go into their Reddit and see the different subreddits they subscribe to. It wasn't easy like that. So to come up with some type of like personals to kind of get at them,
that's hard.
Really had to do that was hard, mm-hmm. But it was called texting. So I was a texie back in the days, where I would battle people, in a certain given time, and I had to hurry up and type a rhyme, like a 16 to the other person, and they would have to type theirs, and the whole community would have to judge it.
Now, here's a question for you right there.
Uh-huh.
Do you still write?
Well, I don't. I used to write poems and I used to write rhymes, and I stopped doing it.
Because?
I don't know. That's...
We haven't explored why?
I guess it took a different form, which is what I do today. So it helped me become writing rhymes, and I guess I'll bring it up and see if I still got it. But it kept writing rhymes kept me on my toes. Like if you know me, like if somebody wants to say something slick to me, or if I'm in a podcast and somebody wants to say something slick, or just being fun and making jokes, I'm like that. You know, with it, and that helped me, like for real, it really helped me be a better writer, a quick writer. Like in college, I would write an essay like that because something was stimulating my mind as far as making sure I have to hurry up and battle someone, and I got to think of something real quick that sounds witty. But the reason why I don't write today, as far as write rhymes today, I don't know. Like I really don't have an answer for that. I just would go into forums, and I got kind of more into learning more about the side of gaming that people didn't really talk about. So I learned about forums. So like, of course we play video games and we love what's there, but I wanted to know who made these games. Like I wanted to know why did they make them, and how I found out about stuff like that. Like I used to read my father's like Game Informers and EGMs stuff. And, Game Pros, wow. And that's how I learned more about the gaming industry, just besides just playing a video game. Or even like the PlayStation Underground, remember the disc we used to get? And when I got into learning about what forums were from the hip-hop side, I then start to look into gaming forums. And I was like, wow, there's people like me that are interested in the same thing. So I would try and go on gaming forums. A lot of people don't know these GameStops and IGNs, before they were that, they were forums. And I would look and see the different things, or what people was making rumors about, or seeing what this game was going to come out and why. And I remember how I found out more about that, because that was like high school going into college. Was during PS2, and everybody was trying to figure out what the PS2 was going to be and all this other stuff. Like I used to print out papers on like knowing more about PS2 rumors and bring it to school with my friends. But that's how I guess hip hop, like during that time I was still writing and stuff like that, but then I wanted to kind of know more. And I guess that's what, I don't know why it didn't stick with me to still write rhymes or poems. I guess my passion just got so engulfed by wanting to know more about gaming. And I just kept, of course, hip-hop with the air instead of with the pen. So, but yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't know about. But I don't know why. Like, I really can't answer that.
So, we may have to do a part two.
Yeah, I know.
Because it is Good Friday, and I have more things that I'd like to learn since I've been stalking you for the last couple of years, right? According to chat, right? I see stuff like that. Listen, they forget that we're from New York. We're not easily swayed by, online comments and stuff like that. That I've been stalking you since whatever, which I find funny. If, you know, I guess it's just a sense of humor, right? So, I got a couple of things I want to hit before we wrap, which I believe is very important. Definitely culture, right? And mm-hmm. I intentionally stopped the years because you still look 22, right? So we're done with the years. We're done with the years, okay? Okay. Well, when we do part two, we may have to talk about some different things. Okay. Community, how important it is to lift one another, and it doesn't have to be related to financial gain or mm-hmm. popularity, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I definitely want to hit with you, which is extremely important to you, women in gaming. And then I think mm-hmm. we'll target time 6:45.
Okay.
All right.
I think community is very important. Whether it is a heritage thing or a passion thing, a race thing, as far as your beliefs thing, especially I'll keep it to the gaming industry. There's so much negativity, period, on the internet. And if you know you have, so I'll just make myself out an example. Like you said, I'm the public private person. I gotta work on that because, I get told by even my mom, and even my boyfriend who's hip hop gamer, like, you need to just show more. And it's right. But, there's certain people that may feel like why should they? Because they get so much blowback on different things, but that's where the community is very important to kind of uplift one another to say, it's okay. There's someone just like you and we could be happy together. So, due to negativity, at least you know you have a community where you can rely on and lean back on that can help you with anything. And I think that's very important. And I know I was talking about this off camera, but for example, as far as like Black gamers, Latino gamers, as far as like us uplifting one another, supporting one another, of course we may have our differences. And this even goes from people who want to have console wars and want to have fun with that. Some people kind of go below the belt, which doesn't make any sense. Like, we're just talking about plastic and like hardware right now. Like, are you serious? But, you never know who you might meet that's your friend that can turn out to be like a brother to you, a sister to you. Anyone that might be like a lifelong friend. Like, you never know. I've known people off of just playing Call of Duty on 360 that I've known for 10, 12, 13 years. And they're my friends to this day. Haven't even met them in real life. But you would never know that. So I just think community is really important because you never know what someone might be going through and how you can influence someone to let them know it's okay, or just share something that's passionate together that can turn into like a project and does not have to be about financial gain. I see so many different, I've gone through it. You have these people who have these alternative motives that they were never in your best interest. And the one thing I would say off of that too, and while you're building a community, also build a community for yourself. Like that's also something too. You might be looking for one, but try to build one with yourself as well. Cause you never know what people's intents can be. What was the other thing you said? Cause I want to make
women
sure.
In gaming. And you can tie in what the Set It Off podcast means to you.
Oh, wow. they need to come back. Damn it. Shout out to even Grown Women Gaming. Like, they're still doing their thing. But Set It Off podcast was so fun. I need them to come back. So let me go to video game her. Let me go to Nia and bother Nia. I'm like, we at home. So, women in gaming, is so important. I only can speak for, my people when it comes to that because, as far as like Black women in gaming, Hispanic women in gaming, a lot of times in our communities, sometimes all the times, and I've heard this from like a black outlet, like known black outlet. It was like, black women at game. What? That don't exist. I was like, what? There's a lot of us that play video games. There's a lot of us that stream. There's a lot of us that cosplay. There's a lot of us that actually program and make games. There's a lot of us that are analysts. There's a lot of us that are consultants. There's a lot of mothers out there that play video games to this day still and are teaching their own kids gaming or their own little girls gaming. So, I think like with other things, black women in so many different areas are always left out all the time. So to segue to Set It Off podcast, that podcast was, I mean, the name alone, like Set It Off movie, was just so dope because you have all these different personalities of black women that is just sharing their love for video games, video game news, topics, and from our point of view. I think that is just so important because it's coming from our point of view. We know what we don't see, what we would love to see, and what we would love to create. And that podcast alone shared all of that. Like, shouts out to Nia, Miss K, Beak Beak, Coupon. Like, I hope I didn't forget nobody because I'm gonna be upset. But like, but yeah, like, shouts out to all of them. And I really would love to see it come back. I really would. But make sure y'all definitely check out Grown Women Gaming. Make sure y'all definitely check them out. Cause they have, it's for black women as well. And, they're doing a thing. I got to meet them in person last E3. That was like one of my favorite E3s last year. Like I loved it. We was at one of the tallest buildings in LA, seeing the most beautiful, sunset. And it was a lot of people from, Grown Women Gaming. Was Iron Lord podcast up there? Iron Lord podcast. It was just so many different people, black people in the industry as far as the gaming community, like not just the people who have these titles and know it from the gaming community. And we was just having a great time. And I finally got to meet people that I've known for like 5-6 years. I got to meet my sisters in gaming. And, it was beautiful. I just think I love to see more of that. It just doesn't have to be one podcast, two podcasts. I could look at 10 podcasts like that. It's still a podcast. So I think that's so important because it just shows that we are there. We do love this stuff and we game just like everybody else.
Okay. Last thing, which is very important. Geek Game Tight. Talk about that, what you guys do there, and then we'll wrap.
Sure. So Geek Game Tight is an outlet that expresses just what I just said. It's to showcase black and brown geeks from different walks of life and showing that there are such thing as black comic books, Hispanic comic books, Native comic books, like just to showcase that, that there are creators, there are geeks in that space. They don't think that we play video games or different video games that we do play or different characters, or different cosplayers, different inventors, as far as the sim program as well too. So that platform alone is pretty much to share those voices, to share those journeys and stories, and still also give a platform where people could get their news in the industry or people that look like them. So that's what Geek Game Tight is all about. And
that's your baby, right?
That's my baby. That's my baby. And I can't wait to grow more. Just like what you said, it's a growing process. I love, you know, during this time is a really, it's a testing time. So during this testing time, I want to make sure that I test myself too and get it to where I want it to be. And everyone at work with me on that project is really great friends. And I want it to be something where they can express their creativity as well too. So from video directing to different passions and lifestyle stuff on there. It's something to also help people kind of make their own portfolio too on different things they want to do. So I'm really proud of that because I know what I went through in the past with different projects and stuff. So I'm happy to kind of have
that. Is that part
two? That something. Yep.
is that part two? That's all good.
But yeah, that's just to have some type of safe haven too. So, yep. Anybody that's interested, just hit me up. You know, redinforme@geekgametype.com. And that would love to contribute or share their story in some way or form. Just, you know, let's talk.
That's awesome. So aside from the site and the email address you just gave, where can we find your content?
You can find my content. YouTube is Red Infamy. If you would like to follow me, also Red Infamy across the board. Twitter, my DMs is open. I don't need any weird stuff. I will say there's been some respectful people these years that never really tried that with me. Thank you. Don't make this as an attempt to try now. But everything across the board is that. Discord. I do have a Discord for Geek Game Tight. I gotta get that up and running even more to get the community in there. Anybody that's some anime heads, I need some new anime to look at because My Hero is about to finish with me with that one. I gotta get something else to look at. But yeah, everything is on there or geekgametight.com. There'll soon be a Geek Game Tight YouTube, and then Twitch and everything is still Red Infamy.
Okay, so yeah. We have a couple of minutes. So if you guys in chat have any questions, we'll hang for about 2 minutes or so. And if I don't see any questions come into the chat, then I'll begin to wrap it. So we have a solid few minutes right now. So I thank you for coming on.
Of course,
it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. It was a lot of information given in this one.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out how to frame it properly since we've known each other for a long time. And I think that I wanted to be respectful for what I've observed with you and your personality and how you move in the industry, as well as how far I can go and probe without messing that up. So it was a combination of those two things.
That was I never experienced that one. That was great. That was a timeline. I was like, I gotta remember this. Like, let me dig deep.
No, I'm glad. Glad it was refreshing. And I guess even with this time that we're going on right now, this quarantine time, right? It's definitely a journey for a lot of us, and I know that there's different things that you're considering to learn to take your platform to the next level, and I'm definitely down to discuss that. Even today, we tested some stuff out, right, to make sure, you know, if it was going to work out and stuff, and it looked like it came out fairly decently. So, guys, since I don't see anything in chat, hope you guys enjoyed this conversation with Red Infamy. She's amazing. That's my friend. That's my sister. And we are going to cut it, guys. So hope you guys have a great day and a great week. And you guys take care. This episode is brought to you by Bluehost. Bluehost is a proven powerhouse in the website hosting industry. They offer exceptional customer service. They allow you to host multiple domains under one account, which is super convenient. Check out theshowradio.info/Bluehost to get started for as low as $3.95 a month, exclusively to you. This episode is also brought to you by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs, news, business, and self-development. Head over to theshowradio.info/audiobook to get your first audiobook free with a 30-day trial. This is also brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a VPN service that secures your internet connection. I can't even say it. That secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, so you can see that this is not pre-recorded. Mask your location allows you to access your favorite sites, no matter where you live or travel to. Get 20% off of the lifetime of your account, use the promo code SHORAM. Once again, that's SHORAM for the lifetime of your account. 20% off. So, takeaways. Let's do takeaways. So she is absolutely incredible. Red Infamy, I've known her since 2012. And we attended events together ever since then. I mean, just collaborations, and she's helped me in a lot of ways to get to certain events. And that's been an amazing experience. One of the takeaways I definitely want to mention is don't be afraid to be yourself. She is a very unique individual, and I've realized that from the earlier years, just observing her personality and just having different conversations with her. So don't be afraid to be yourself. As far as collaborating and connecting with other individuals, it doesn't necessarily always have to be about who is going to get the dollar. Sometimes you have individuals and the dollars may come later in that particular collaboration. They may get a particular opportunity that they decide, hey, you know who would be perfect for that? This person, right? And I think sometimes you have to leave some things in the table to get greater gains later on. So that's pretty much it. Episode 537 of the show. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Stay safe. Stay home. And until next time, take care.